But some of them said, "He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And others, tempting, asked for a sign from heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Earlier this week, I was reading about St. Cyril of Jerusalem, who was a great saint during the time of the Arian heresy. And one source relayed an interesting story, a bit of an aside, about a different bishop at that time, whose name was Maris. When Julian the Apostate had become the emperor, he began to persecute Christians, and he began to try to restore the old pagan ways to the Roman Empire, and to desecrate places along the way, and to make life really difficult for the Christians. And as he did this, one time, he happens to be desecrating a great church in which he had placed in the place of honor an image of fortune, and then he began to offer sacrifice to it. Hearing about this sacrilege, Maris, who was blind, had himself led to the church by those who assisted him. And when he arrived, he called out and he rebuked Julian for his impious actions. Julian turned and began to mock Maris in front of everyone that was there. "You blind old fool, what of your Galilean God? Will he not cure your blindness?" Julian's entourage all laughed, and they jeered and they mocked the old bishop. But to this Maris responded, "I thank God for my blindness, for it saves me from having to see the face of an apostate." And with that, the old bishop turned and walked out of the church. We see in today's gospel the groundwork beginning to be laid for our Lord's passion and death. Christ is working a great miracle. He delivers a possessed man from his devils. And as indication of this, he takes the man who is dumb and he restores speech to the man. But it is also noted that in the corresponding gospel narrative of St. Matthew, this dumb man is also blind, and this blindness is healed as well, and he can see again. The people recognize the devil is gone because the miracle that has worked upon the senses of the man is a great miracle, and many who witness it believe. As the Venerable Bede points out, the multitude that is there, they are devoid of much learning, and yet they are able to see the miracle for what it is, and to recognize that the man's sight restored and his speech regained comes from heaven above. And it is for them also an inspiration for themselves, because now the man's sight restored is an imagery of the faith, the light of it being brought to their own eyes. And the restoration of his speech, it is the loosening of their own lips to properly praise God and all his works. And yet amongst them, we find the Pharisees and the scribes. They are hardened against such miraculous works now. They know the scriptures. They are educated. They realize that the prophecies of old, the blind seeing, the dumb speaking, the possessed being delivered, this is now manifested before their eyes. And yet, it is they who now strive to discredit our Lord, claiming that he has cast out the devil by the power of the devil, even daring to demand a sign from heaven, as if the miracle was not a sign from heaven itself, as if they were owed something above and beyond a man who is able to control nature and the powers of hell itself. They mock Christ publicly, trying to bring ignominy, that is, public shame, down upon him in front of the multitude, so that he may be disbelieved, so that these miracles may be forgotten, so that eventually he may be put away, and that the Pharisees and scribes may reclaim their stolen place of honor. This is what St. Alphonsus, our Lenten saint, brings to our attention for the third Sunday of Lent in his Road to Calvary, Meditations upon for the time of Lent and Easter. St. Alphonsus points out one of the great sufferings of our Lord that he endures is that he is made shameful for all to see. He, the infinite and all good God, come to redeem man, is made low by man. To this, St. Alphonsus enumerates some of these ignominies. He's abandoned by his own apostles and betrayed by one of them. He is his own chosen people, the Jews. These are the ones who deliver him up to Pilate, a pagan, to judge him as a malefactor, to accuse him as a blasphemer. He is marked as a fool by the impious impostor, Herod. He is traded for the robber and murderer, Barabbas. He finds himself scourged and crowned with thorns and mocked as king and spit upon his face. And finally, Christ is condemned to death. Death upon a cross. A death which is reserved for those who have been cursed. How our Lord suffered for us. All for our own redemption. And yet we so often, knowing all of these things, continue to endanger our souls to lose this very thing. By our sins, by our flirting with temptations, by our frailty and weakness. Lent is that time of strengthening our souls, so that we may be able to hold strong to our Lord, to keep him before our eyes, to understand and meditate and learn of the wonders of the good God. We do this through our times of meditation and spiritual reading. We do this so that we may place that light of faith there before us, so it may flood into our heart. So that it may be something that we recall so frequently, so that it may be the focus of our attention. We strengthen grace in our souls by our frequent praise of God to flow from our lips, not allowing ourselves to be dumb, but rather calling out again and again all throughout the days, acts of love returned back to him, words of comfort to our crucified Savior, petitions asking for grace so that we may persevere and that we may grow and that we may be strong in Christ. We beg always to be part of his heart. These are what we are called to do in Lent, and by frequently doing so, we find ourselves very much on that road to Calvary. O my Jesus, save me. Do not permit me, after being redeemed by you with so much pain and so much love, to lose my soul and go to hell, there to hate and curse the very love which you have borne me. This hell I have indeed so often deserved, for thou, you could do nothing more than you have done to oblige me to love you. I have done everything in my power to compel you to chastise me. But since in your goodness you have waited for me, and even still continue to ask me to love you, I wish to love you. I wish to henceforth to love you with my whole heart and without reserve. Give me strength to make this wish effective. O Mary, Mother of God, assist me by your prayers. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.